Time now for our weekly chat with the experts at ETF.com, the world's leading independent authority on ETFs.
People have been saying there are too many mutual funds since the 80s.
For all the talk of smart beta, they haven't pulled in huge assets. The active managers are showing up in the ETF space.
Dave, we're going to talk ETF education today. And first, I do think it's important to point out, we're not in the dark ages here with ETF education, right? I think especially compared to other types of investments, we know ETFs are built on transparency. There has been a lot of progress made on ETF education. I think certainly you and ETF.com have helped lead the charge here. And maybe that's a good place for us to start, because you have been involved with ETFs since their earliest days. So I guess before we talk about some of the challenges, how has ETF education improved since you first became involved?
Well, we're just in a whole different world than we were even just 10 years ago. And, you know, one of the reasons we can look at the flows, which have been so phenomenal, and see, you know, these $300-400 billion years, is because we've been successful at ETF education, right? We've shown people how these products work. We've shown them the problems that they can solve, and people have listened. So when you look at all that money flowing in, it's not just, you know, hedge funds and you know, the Harvard endowment. It's mom and pop investors, it's advisors, it's insurance companies, it's the whole market. So, you know, in some ways, I think the challenges we face today are the result of the success we've had in educating people about what ETFs are and how they can help. And the problem, as you guys talked a little bit about in your preview for the rest of the session, is ETFs can now do some pretty complicated things. And with over 2,000 of them out there, it's certainly the case that not every ETF is right for every person.
Well, let's talk more about that, because when you look at the growth and innovation in ETFs, it has run so fast. I don't think there's any question it's almost helped create this problem. And to me, to maybe use a crude example, it's almost like a technology. So maybe take Twitter, for example. For people who have been using Twitter for years, it's second nature. But for someone logging in for the first time, you know, hashtags and retweets and everything else, it might seem pretty daunting. Do you think that's a good comparison for ETFs?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'm completely guilty of this. You know, maybe I'm part of the problem. But, you know, there is a lot of lingo, a lot of jargon, and I think it's easy to forget that while I may have, for instance, talked about creation redemption 1,000 times, that doesn't mean the next person I'm talking to has never heard of it before. And I think that's the thing to remember is, you know, education's easy when you can identify a small pool, say, registered investment advisors, and say, that's the group we're going to go educate. When we start talking about literally everyone in the world with an investable asset pool, this is not a process that you are ever done with.
Are there certain areas where you think ETF education is particularly lacking, or do you think the industry just needs to continue to do a better job across the board?
You know, I think the basics are really well covered. So if you go to, you know, our website, ETF Trends, ETFDB, you know, Yahoo Finance, Google Finance, Schwab, Fidelity, you name where you go to get information, you'll find some core ETF 101 education that will teach you what these products are, how to trade them, how they're different from mutual funds. I feel like while we still have to get that message out there, we're delivering that message, and I think that's well understood as an industry. Where things get trickier is, frankly, in a lot of the new products that we've launched, and frankly, the stuff that, you know, we've talked about on the show over and over again, whether it's gold ETFs or defined outcome products or using these for retirement or different asset classes, hedge fund replication. All of these things are now open to any investor who's willing to do the work to look at them. And that's where I think the real challenge becomes, because the product structure itself is actually pretty simple, but the things you can stick inside of it can be pretty complex.
Dave, this is Jason. We've spent a lot of time on the show talking about the fee cut war, the environment we're in where, you know, there's a grind to zero. One of the most iconic movie lines, at least in a movie that I enjoy, Jerry Maguire's, "Show me the money." How with this fee war, you know, how are ETF companies and providers and vendors going to pay for the education that's needed? Where's the revenue going to come from?
Well, you know, it's important to recognize that we're talking about fairly low-cost businesses. So, you know, I'm not going to be crying in my cups anytime soon about the fact that Schwab and Vanguard and so on are charging 4 or 5 basis points for their exposure. yeah, they're not making a lot of money if those are $100 million funds, but recognize that in many cases these are $100 billion complexes, and it doesn't require huge staffs to run these businesses. So, yes, they may be low margin, but they can actually build quite a large base. So the money will be there, but there is a haves and have-nots in the industry. It is definitely tough to have to take a small upstart idea, particularly a complex one, on the road and educate people about it. And unfortunately, or I should just say, I guess ironically, that's where most of the smaller players are, is in more complicated products. There are very few small players that are bringing, frankly, sort of vanilla low-cost beta to the market because that ground's so well covered.
So, Dave, on that note, what are some potential solutions here? You know, when we were down at the Inside ETFs conference, I think we talked a little bit about this. And you had mentioned that in order for ETF education to reach the mass market, it needs to be driven by companies with big megaphones, the companies that Jason's alluding to, the iShares, State Streets, Vanguards of the world. But you also mentioned, of course, the downside is these companies will talk their own book, right? Push their own products.
Yep.
But, you know, even for smaller providers where there are more complex strategies and perhaps they don't have the budget to do the education, I mean, what are some of the potential solutions here to help educate the market?
Well, you know, I think the industry overall is going to have to recognize that this is becoming more mainstream. And we're starting to see that just in the kinds of media. I mean, we're doing this podcast. We have a sponsor for it now. We're getting that message out there. You know, both Bloomberg and CNBC now have dedicated ETF television shows that are out there for people to watch. You know, I think that's the kind of thing we're going to see more and more of, those moves towards a mass media type experience. I expect you'll see more books. I expect you'll see more coverage in sort of mainstream financial magazines like Money and you know, Kiplinger's and things like that. So I think it'll happen somewhat naturally, but I do fear that there is going to be this gap where people get a little educated about sort of what ETFs are, how to trade them, and then there's a big gap towards how the more complex products work.
Well, it's interesting. I know in one of your ETF.com live chats a few months ago, you were asked the question, if there's one thing you'd like to see improved about the ETF industry, what would it be? And your answer was education. And you said that with the growth of ETFs and the fact that they have gone more mainstream, we have to be careful not to assume everyone gets them because new people are finding ETFs every day. I think that's spot on. What I like about that is I think it also shows the opportunity. I think, you know, it is a good problem that we do have new investors finding ETFs every day. I think we know that will continue to be the case. And so it is a responsibility of everybody involved in the industry, whether that's somebody like us, whether it's somebody like you, whether it's fund companies, to, you know, really carry the torch on ETF education. But I am excited about the opportunity here.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I think that, you know, the rise of sort of packagers, whether, you know, robo advisors, folks that are taking ETFs and making simple portfolios out of them, that's a great first step, right? That helps people see how to use ETFs, even if they don't sign up with those folks to be clients. They do a great job in educating because they show you what the end state looks like. Here's what a rational ETF portfolio looks like. Here's how often we rebalance it. And I think that leading by example is really helpful.
Well, Dave, with that, we'll have to leave it there. Always appreciate you joining us. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.